This tape consists of selections from tapes made at the Bartholomew Workshop in Taos, August 3rd and 4th, called the Outdoor Workshop, and recorded on tapes numbered 371, 372, and 373.
Let us set the tone for the next 2 days, out of which will come, if we do our work correctly, a different sense of belonging. And let us state the quandary simply. Many, many, many lifetimes ago, way back in the beginning of your journeys in time-space, there was within and around you a connectedness to all of the earth. The strands of energy and power that united the animals to the plants also united the human form to the plant and to the winged ones. And there was even some kind of wonderful communication with those finned ones that move in the depths of the sea. You lived on this planet in a state of constant acknowledgement of the unification process, which was essential for the planet to grow into a place that would harbor good form, good lifestyle for all that were on it. But as the ego of the human got stronger and stronger, and as certain people pronounced words that became law, such as, you have dominion over the planet, the egos of the humans got a bit out of hand, and came the notion, not necessarily to the detriment of the rest of the planet so much in the beginning as to your own. In the beginning time, when you began to close yourselves off because of a feeling of somehow having something extraordinary, rather something that those that inhabited did not have, came a sense within you of not only superiority, but the difficulty then was you began to close yourself off so that you were no longer able, for example, to know the condition of the weather as it would come, because you had closed yourself off from the far reaches of the winged ones who could simply have told you what was over the horizon. How could they tell? Well, they could get so high they knew. There was all this knowingness between all life forms. But then things began to change. Now things have come to such a pass that now it is our observation, and you will have to check this out in your own reality to see if it is true, that you move without the assurance of the wonderful totality of this planet, without the knowing that it is going in a way that is necessary. You have set yourselves in a sense apart, which is a lonely position. There is no blame attached to this at all, because it was precisely this coming into power of the ego that made you realize many, many things. This is not a moment of blame at all. It is simply an acknowledgement of a lost skill. No blame attached. You learned, you needed to, you did what was ordained. In this funny sense of the tree of good and evil and Adam and Eve and all of that, another translation of that simply is that you had to get about the business of learning what it was to be an isolated human being. And you learned much. And you will find out as you leave time-space why that was so important. Again, I repeat, no blame. It was necessary, appropriate. But now the lost skill is very excitingly available, and so let us go into what I'm talking about. The connectedness, the places of connection between you and the other worlds has never been broken. It has just been left in misuse. So just as a bridge that's sagging can be reused if it is made taut, then the job these 2 days is to tighten up that part of you that you have necessarily allowed to go into a sagging position. As a human being, you began to stay in your body more and more and more, but not in your whole body, but rather in what I would call the intellectual part of your body, not so that you could become brilliant, but so that you could stay safe. You began to learn that the one thing that you had over the rest of the species was that your brains work differently, and they have the ability in almost computer-like awareness to make assessments and judgments and thus make choices that kept you safer on this planet. And that was all well and good. However, Having located yourself in that upper reaches, what's happened is that many of you find that you are not connected to your heart. I repeat, many of you find that you are not connected to your heart. Many of you have very well developed sexual areas, meaning that you relate very well through that center. That is not a problem for you. Many others of you, usually the ones that do not have well-developed sexual centers, have well-developed intellectual centers, which is where you relate mostly with the world. But I must be frank and say that in my observation, the area that is most lonely in this group and in many of the people that I work with is the heart. So, since if the heart is not alive and connected, there is always a feeling of loneliness, isolation, and separation. The job, please, is to begin this weekend to ignite the power in the heart so that it is connected. If your heart center is connected, you will feel at peace no matter what is happening outside of you, because your heart is the place where you recognize, and this is an important statement, where you recognize God's in his heaven, all is right with your world, no matter what. With that as the beginning, let us understand very clearly. The job is to, this weekend, ignite the heart so that it feels in a state of connectedness with what is outside of itself, and thereby feels safe. You have believed that you have to create the God in you, and that is the greatest heresy that I have ever heard, because it's nonsense. This is who you are. This is this. The depression is the other side, is all of the ego. My friend, your only gift to yourself and anyone who believes that they have to work on themselves, work on yourself to do what? I mean, what are you going to do? Haven't you all got to the place where you've thrown up your hands and said, I can't do anymore? I've tried it all. I've tried all the teachers. I've tried all the books. I've tried all the breath. I've tried everything. And I'm still myself. I'm still this. At that point emerges intelligence. Spiritual awareness emerges at that one point when you say, I have done it all. I'm done with it. I can't do anymore. This is it. This is who I am. Take it or leave it, God. This is it. This is your kid, and I'm not going to ever be any different. The minute that your consciousness says that, real understanding emerges, because then you allow yourself to stop striving and to start feeling. Striving is not feeling. Striving is effort of will to move towards something. Letting go into what is already present within you is the beginning of wisdom. My dear lady, if you would just sit with this wonderful point of power every day, over and over and over, without any thought in your mind, you are going to begin to feel exactly what I am sharing with you. That there is within you all of the perfection that has always been there and will always be it. And on the face of that care changes the face of the ego. You're looking at the wrong place. This is always there and will always be there. Don't be trapped. The only trap is to stop and looking at the different pictures and not looking at the screen beneath it. The screen beneath it, my dear and beautiful lady, will never change. If you will just keep shifting from the outer and dropping into that, you will begin to know day after day after day. I am whole. I am whole. I am the all. And the greatest heresy of all, I am God, manifesting now. I am God, manifesting now. If you aren't God, who are you? If all is God, and you are not God, then who are you? Don't be fooled. It is possible in this lifetime for you to know who you are. It is possible for everyone under this wonderful roof to know who they are in this lifetime. Should they choose, I pray that you choose. Then it won't be hard. And I love you. My friends, don't be fooled. If there is but one, who are you? If there is but one self, one God, one source, one power, then who are you? The loneliness arises because you will not believe. There is but one God. So who are you? The question should be asked, since you are life living itself, since you are life moving through time-space, since you are focused power and life moving, then why do you often not feel alive? We discussed some reasons this morning. I would like to say again the basic dilemma. Your mind has encapsulated you. I repeat, your mind has encapsulated you. It is, as we discussed on our Greek Odyssey, you enter the world and move into the labyrinth. The labyrinth is very devious. It has many turns. It backs up on itself. It goes here and it goes there, often dead-ending, and you have to turn around and go back. The added difficulty of the life labyrinth is that it's made up of mirrors. There are mirrors on the sides and mirrors on the floor. Therefore, as you move through your life, you are seeing mirrored reflections, both from under you and from the sides of you. You are also seeing everyone else from these mirrored images, from the side and so forth, causing confusion. And you move through the labyrinth trying to find the golden door, the way out, whatever it might be. Finally, you come to the place where you say, I've got it. If I look up, there's no roof to this labyrinth, so I'll have to go up. This is a decision every soul eventually makes. As soon as you decide that, yes, the answer is to what I would say up-level, get up another level so that you can get out of the labyrinth, you start trying to find ways. And this is where the spiritual games begin. We have gurus, we have this, we have that, we have whatever, we have windy spooks and all of this coming and going. We have books, we have rigorous disciplines, we have everything. And eventually, just as in the case of the labyrinth, you sit down and you say, well, I don't know why, but I'm still here. I've tried all of the things. I'm still here. And as I tried to indicate this morning, that is where growth begins. When you sit down, wherever you are in the labyrinth, no matter who steps on you, so what? They've been stepping on you for lifetimes anyway, at least from your perception. Sit down and say, all right, this is a difficult problem. I'm here. I don't want to be here. I want to be somewhere else. But every time I try to get to that somewhere else, I find that I'm still here. And even if I do get a glimpse of something else, I come back here. I'm always here. And for a while, this causes great disappointment, disillusionment, anger, and this is where people cry out at God, you rat, you fink, you left us in this mess, and now what are we going to do? And one becomes very disillusioned and turns against the path they'd taken or their teacher or whatever. This is the great reversal. But then finally, just as in a Buddha's case, you say, I am going to sit here until I know how to get out of this labyrinth. I know there is another world because when I look up, I see another world. So how? My next statement, part of you will believe and the other part of you won't. The way out is to simply sit quietly on the floor of the labyrinth, perfectly still, not willing yourself to go anywhere and do anything, just simply saying, I am willing to experience all that is. I am willing to experience all that is. When you make this statement deeply within your consciousness, and this is the part you won't believe, the doors begin to open without your having to do anything. You willed them closed because you wanted to experience labyrinth consciousness. You closed the door by the strength of your conscious will because you wanted to experience labyrinth consciousness, earth plane consciousness. Well, how do you get out of the bottle? If the goose gets into the bottle, how does the goose get out? It gets out the way it got in. You thought the door shut, you've got to think the door open. You will the door close, you have to will the door open. You cannot crawl up the wall and smash it with your fist. This is the only truth I ever need to tell you. When you state with all of the power of your being that you are willing to experience all that is, the doors begin to fly open. The first doors that fly open are the ones right around you, the physical world, the world of other human beings. When you have stabilized there, then the other doors begin to open. When you stabilize there, then the next step. And the process is always the same. I do not care where in the createdness and out of it you go. The basic rule for you, as for where I exist also, is I am willing to experience all that is. It is my rule for my awareness, and it is yours for yours. Wherever you go, the rule is always the same. I am willing to experience all that is. All that remains is the simple technique that we began with this morning, which is to drop out of the brain, which is not the seat of that kind of experience, and take grounded root somewhere in your physical body. And instead of talking to each other, because I think that that can deflect, because that's a mode that is very transfixing, if you just quietly make your way, wander up, allowing all that is to start entering you, and when you find yourself thinking, feeling sorry for yourself, oh, I'll never get it, oh, I'm poor me, oh, poor me. You see, poor me is the hubcap of this universe. It keeps everything down. Poor me, poor me. Poor me will never open a door. Poor me can't. It has no power. So if you're in a poor me situation, at least for 2 days, drop it. Pick it up at the end. It's getting you something. But poor me is not helpful for opening doors. So as you walk, you will feel, if you feel your feet step by step on the ground, if you will feel yourself as a receptor of all kinds of motions and feelings and warmths and colds and whatever it might be, all of this, if you will make yourself an antenna to receive, then you will be nourished. You see, mankind's problem is you're doing all the broadcasting. Have you noticed? You're always broadcasting. There's always the state of broadcasting. And there's nothing wrong with broadcasting, but it would be helpful if you could just reverse it for a while and be and receive, to hear from all of this wonder that really would love to have you hear. So if you just put off the broadcasting dial, and especially of your old material, oh, poor me, if they only knew, poor me, you know, put it aside. Everyone has been a poor me. And for yourself and for others, it's probably boring. The people that are happiest are the ones that have put poor me aside and just acknowledged that there's a bit of poor me in everyone, and let's not make it our whole life. Let's just begin to be filled. And as you walk up there, just please be that receiver. Just be that dynamic receiver and see what happens if you just turn off this part, the mind part. And just allow the other part to start feeling something. You see, there, you've been hiding ever since you were small. When depression takes over, when you're very little, you know, children stand like this a lot, you know. And it's because they don't want their emotions, their solar plexus, to be inundated too much by all that's going on. And the more and more depressed you get in your own life, you'll find your shoulders getting more and more stooped. And all you're saying is, I've had enough, stay out, stay away. And when you finally decide to be brave and to be the warrior, you'll find yourself standing up. Doesn't it feel a lot more unprotected when you're out this way than when you're like this? But eventually you decide to lead with the chest, meaning lead with the heart. I'll take what happens. I'll lead with the heart, and what happens, happens. I'm willing to experience everything that my heart needs to have me experience, and I'll lead with my heart. That's the warrior stance. You see, not the proud arrogance of the, you know, but I'll lead with my heart. So, the reason for the exercise is very simple. At any time, please try your best to hear the simplicity of this. At any time that you are in conflict with any member of the human race, the solution does not lie in the mind, and it certainly does not lie in your words. It lies in falling into that space that we talked about today and leading with the heart. If you lead with the heart, I don't care what the circumstance, you will find the appropriate words to say or not say. You will find the appropriate feelings beginning to stir within you if you will just drop into the heart. Otherwise, it is mind clashing with mind, ego with ego, and there is no solution. Just lead with your heart, my friends. If you do that, your life then becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. The heart knows how to speak without hurting others. The mouth does not. The mouth is run by the brain, and the brain is a repetitive memory device that repeats things that it's been told. It repeats all the words you've been told. The heart is the creative spot that has every ever new. The heart is ever new. You lead with the heart, and it's ever new. Trust it. It's ever new. Just ask yourself, what would the heart say? Just lead with the heart. You'll get it in your mind, and it'll begin out-picturing in your life. Do you understand? It's the most important thing in dealing with other human beings, because the heart knows. The heart does not hurt others. There is no other, as far as the heart knows. It only sees. So, trust it. Trust it. All of the things that you could feel today that you did not know you could feel, just trust that. Please trust it. It is only the beginning, very small beginning, of an amazing way to empower yourselves. It is very clear that the gods of rain are winning out, and therefore I will return to the void and leave Miss Franklin with a problem. Strength under adversity. The power of the great. Strength under adversity, the power of the great. Strength under adversity, the power of the great. Doubled, bring power to the great and power to those around the great. I would like to thank those of you, which was probably all of you, each in your own way, for strength, for endurance, and most of all, for the keeping of the humor. You were able to bring out into the world strength under adversity. Such beginnings, begun in small valley mountains like this, extend out into the world and make a difference. It does not matter what you did with your bodies. What matters is what you did with your energies. Strength under adversity. I'm grateful to you. You see, if you understood energy, you would know that simply coming up over an obstacle, coming up over another and another and yet another, without giving in, without allowing the negative side to take over and allow you to become angry and depressed and resentful. This is strength under adversity. It makes for warriors, and warriors are what are necessary. Wherever you were last night, each one of you in your own way had to come up over something during the day, during the evening, or during the night. Strength, and I am grateful. What is important is to understand that nothing that you do in the earth is as it appears to be. It is always so much vaster. This is why they say, in the end, you are responsible for what you put into the world, not in the karmic, difficult sense, but in the full sense of when you gather up your energies and place them with power into the world stream. It goes out and affects countless others. So, if you could just remember as a short remembrance, each time adversity appears, remember, the power of the great lies not in fighting it, but in finding ways through leading with the heart to ease the adversity and come out on the other side of the mountain into the sun. It is so important, my friends, to learn to live the life of a warrior, which does not mean fighting, arrogance, defense. It means leading with the heart, finding ways to move through the adversity so that harmony has a chance to break through and flow through the existing blocked energies, whether it be your own life, relationship to someone close to you, or just your work, or just your general tone of life in general, whatever it might be. Please understand the simple truth. Lead with the heart as the warrior finds a way. It's easier for a warrior to find a pathway through the mountains into the valley and out into the flatland below, because nature leaves great, huge landmarks by which to guide you. But the real warrior is the warrior who battles daily with their own psyche, looking for avenues into their psyche to find the unfinished dark valleys and opening them up to the light in whatever way they can. If you are willing to make that journey into your psyche day after day, acknowledging 100% responsibility for your life, 100%, and not allowing anyone else to carry the projection of your responsibility, then life is victorious. Then you can, after adversity, sit and say, what was my part in this? True, other people acted, but what was my part in it? Where did I play my energies in to this vortex? And be responsible for what you did that was positive and what you did not do. And then just say, next time I shall try to find a pathway. Just remembering that that is the job of the warrior. It is not an outer job. It never has been. It's always the ones who dare to venture into those parts of their being that are uncomfortable and sit in them and look around and say, I will find a way out. And just as we discussed yesterday in the labyrinth of the mirrors, the way out is almost always lead with the heart and up level. Meaning, go to the heart. What does the heart say that you should say or do? And then the up leveling is the leap that takes your energy and takes you to doing that new action that leads with the heart, instead of the usual pathway that the ego makes so very clearly available to you. It is that wonderful moment of choice. I have always done it this way, but this time the heart says something different, and I will lead with the heart, and in that leading, take the energies up an octave and find the way out of the labyrinth of pain. My friends, every time you have an altercation with anyone, you suffer. Your heart suffers. Because to that extent, it has not been open to a new pathway that joins you and the other. Because you see, every action between two people has two choices. Either it opens the pathway so that the hearts can flow together into that wonderful power and peace. Or it goes to the old pathway that leads to the stone wall, keeping both of you separate, and the energies just rebounding back upon you endlessly and never joining. Do not deceive yourself that the real union is a union of the physical. A union is done in the heart, and this can be done with anyone at any time, now and always. There is no other job, my friends, but unions of the heart. All of the rest follows. All that is necessary for union is goodwill. And my dear friends, there is not one of you in this tent that does not have goodwill. So you already have the tool. All that you need now is the driving power behind it, which is the determination to lead with the heart. Ask the heart what it would say, what it would do, how it would act, and it will tell you. And then, like the warrior, you must rise to meet its call, and it will not be easy. Battles are easy to fight, my friends, outside. But the battle of the heart that overrides the old conditioning, that declares a new world and a new day and a new choice and a new relationship. That is where the victory lies. Each time you do it, to that extent, the next leap is easier. I ask you to consider this deeply. Yesterday, we opened up a wondrous opening in the psychic field of this beautiful valley. We open it up with its permission in order to use the power to do what we needed to do. And now as we leave, we must close it, because it is unfair to leave it in that open state, because it is not its natural way. It has its own natural wonder. And just as we hope to leave the land as untouched as possible by our coming and leaving, so it would be hoped that we can leave that wonderful valley up there in the same wondrous flow as when we found it. There is a quality of the Divine One that helps transform almost anything. It is called gratitude. I am deeply grateful that the powers that move across this valley were willing to open the pattern and fill us with what we needed. I would ask all of us now, please, as we sit this final round, in whatever way is meaningful, would you please go into your heart and pour out gratitude, not just for this, but for all of the people in your life. If you could just take these moments and just out of all of the people in your life, go through them, please, one after the other, as far back as you need to, pouring out gratitude for whatever you feel. And as you well know, in the moment of enlightenment, the ones that you will be the most grateful to are your adversaries, because they have pushed you to where you had to make a change. Sometimes life itself is the adversary, pushing you, asking new from you when you wanted the old. So my friends, as we sit this final round, two things, please. Gratitude, conscious gratitude to everyone in your life, from here all the way back, as far as you wish to go. And when that is done, would you please sit in that wonderful point of light that we discussed yesterday within the heart. Make it as bright, as shiny, as perfect, as wondrous as you possibly can. In the end, when the warrior begins to move into the responsibility of examining his or her own psychic material, meaning the total psyche, not psychic in the sense of astral projections and astral plane and channeling and plunging tubes through to the upper world. That's not the psyche that I was talking about. I'm talking about that wonderful part of your consciousness that is ever around you. It is the tone of the consciousness around you that determines your state of your well-being. I repeat, it is the tone of the consciousness around you that determines the state of your well-being. If there is no well-being in you, there is something in the state of your consciousness around there that you have not taken the courage to sit down and directly address, look at, and release. This morning, you are going to select two cards. One from this deck, the Mother Peace Tarot, which is a... Please understand, whenever you get anything up and out of you, just by the cognition of the situation, it begins to dissipate. You do not have to do anything fancy. Your job is to get in there and look at it. And in the looking of it, it begins to unwind its tentacles and to let you loose and leaves you in the sunlight. The reason that we put them out there is the human is equipped with a wonderful apparatus of observation. This wonderful reflection back is a wonderful tool. And when people simply keep talking, see, people are lazy. They don't want to get in themselves. They want somebody to tell them. Well, no one can tell anyone anything. All they can do is perform trigger points here and there and then let you do the process. There, you know, you are the teacher. You are the way. You are the light. You are it. And if you keep looking to others, which most of you have given up a long time ago, praise be, you will never get it.
Because you will always be in a state of depression until somebody comes along to push the non-depression button somewhere on you. When you learn to do it yourself, it's much faster, isn't it? Because you know you are always present. And perhaps your teacher isn't, and that's often difficult. So, any of you with relationships, I don't care when you are ending them, you must please keep in your consciousness that ending does not need to be bloody and painful, you know, like the severing of a limb. It can be one of the most beautiful, dynamic, and creative things, especially if you continue to keep your strands mingling in some way or other. Not in the old way, necessarily, but in some way or other. Continuing to acknowledge the wonder and beauty and the growth, and to continue to give the option for new growth ever increasing under new ways. But to cut relationships in that severed condition, which many people do, only means that somehow you have to go back and shore up the sagging vein and take care of it. And when you're at this stage of advancement, you don't want that, because it just means more tedium, more going back, more of the same, more. So just be careful. Whatever you do, do it with care. Do it with clarity. Make sure that the past is just this wonderful line and that it goes into the future and that nothing is abrupt and painful and severed and bleeding. It's not necessary. Human consciousness can do better than that, and often does. Judgment always comes about when the psyche, on some level, is afraid and cannot identify immediately the fear and the source of that fear within themselves. But desperately, what the psyche does is try to grasp for some kind of equality so that they feel equal, not better than, just equal with whatever's going on outside their world. Now, when you feel judgment arising in you, in whatever way, old patterns, new ones, whatever, the question that really needs to be addressed constantly is, and you've already, if your eye be single, then you'll see the light. All right? Now, when it arises, instead of turning the eye out, just turn the eye in and ask yourself the very basic question, what am I defending? What am I afraid of? Why do I feel left out? Why do I feel the need to make all of this happen? Why? What is the ache in myself? And when you ask in that direct moment, again and again, you will tell yourself what it is. It will come almost in an instant. Because judgment is always based on lack of love. And lack of love is present, not because you're not loving, but because fear is present. You see, there are only two options. You feel fear, or you feel love. Love casteth out fear. And the only way to get to that love is to acknowledge in yourself what it is you're afraid of. Get it in bounds. Do you understand? Get it in your camp. Get it in your living room. Get it in your heart. Get it in you somehow, so that you can then work with it. You know, if it's out there on the horizon somewhere, I mean, what good is that? Bring it close to you. And just as you are feeling these judgmental thoughts, if you can keep saying a very simple statement, which will be hard for you, but I ask you to think about it anyway. I love myself for having this judgment. The minute you do that and get the energy of love going, love is present and fear is not. And in that moment, you have a new chance. Do you understand? Do not try to say, I love the other person. That's indirect. What is needful is for this, your being, to feel love. Because once it feels love, it can relax around the judgment. Do you understand the simplicity? Just again and again, going back to that feeling, I accept myself for this judgment. I love myself now. These kinds of statements, again and again, said deeply within the heart, over and over again, bring in equality. You see, you have been taught that if you are in any way naughty, that you're unlovable. And I would like to tell you that that's just not true. It's just not true. Love is present in you constantly. And if you will just go back to it, fall back into it, moment after moment after moment. No matter what is going on in your world, you will begin to build that power within you. This is applicable to anyone who wants to get over judgment. Fear is present. Find out the fear. Love yourself for the judgment. The instant that you love yourself, love is present. And then is the possibility of loving somebody else. But in any case, love is now present. And that diminishes the judgment greatly. Do you see the process? Bring it back home. Don't worry about it out there. You know, bring it home. Bring it home. What other question would you say about that? It has to be constant. You can't do it like twice a week, you know, like yoga. It's got to be done all the time, all the time, all the time. Whenever love is not present, there's one thing you can do. You can bring it in by loving yourself. The minute it is present, everything changes. Do you see? Just get it in yourself. Now it's present. Then the world begins to change. Judgment is a very natural phenomenon of a separated ego. No blame. No blame. No blame. All egos judge. It's how they equate.
Basic rule. If you wait for change to happen, it will be slow, tedious, and it may not change into anything that you really want. It'll be a little of this and a little of that. When you decide to be the master of your life, the main decision that you say to yourself is, look, I now have feelings within me that I want my life to look a certain way. There are certain things that I now know I need in order to make myself feel nourished. There are certain lifestyles that I would like to pick up and move toward because I think I'd feel better about them. Perhaps it's even I would like to change my location and move to another place on this wonderful globe, something like this. Now, once you really understand that what is alive and well in you is the desire to move and to change, then it's a very simple way to have it, to have that unfold, and I'd like to explain that. All right. First of all, the total responsibility of every day acknowledging inside of yourself, acknowledging that you want the change. As we said this morning, the thing that sticks all of you so thoroughly is the fact that you are afraid to say, this I want. This I want. Because you're afraid that if you say it and then you don't get it, then you'll be sad. That's not true. That is just not true. You're already sad. You're already feeling that things are not totally completed. So take it upon yourself to be responsible and to say, I'm tired of these parts of my life and I am willing, you are the guardian, I am willing to get changes in my life that are alive and dynamic and creative and wondrous, and I'm ready. I'm ready. Everybody paying attention up there? I'm ready. All right? Now, what that is in truth, because there aren't a lot of little gods and godlets up there just pouring down all this, all the goodies to you, in truth, what you're doing is opening up your awareness to that part of your sphere, your psyche, that will then say, oh, she's ready for change. All right? What does she want? You know, it's just like one of these computers. What does she want down there? Well, most of the time, most of you are mumbling. And they're going, what did they say? And you go, what? I didn't quite get it. You know, so your responsibility is to resound back with this great wonder. This is what I want. Oh, that's, oh, all right. Do you see? Your responsibility. Nothing will change in power. You already know this. Nothing will change in power in your life until you say, I'm ready. I want it, I'm excited, I think it's just what I need, and then they hear it. Now, the thing you must also understand is also, there is always a stipulation. In the real seeker, the stipulation is, but, don't give it to me if it's not going to be the best in the end for my spiritual enlightenment. That's the second phrase. Not everybody gives the second phrase. But when they do, that's heard too. A real seeker always lets that be heard very strongly. So that is what they hear first. Oh, all right. You know that.
But you have to state these things. You have to acknowledge in yourself, these are the things I want. This is what I want my life to look like. Now, when you begin every day, and I do mean every day, making these declarations, and feeling them move through your body and knowing that that's what you want, you start energizing the body, the whole body, for what it is you're looking for. You think? Of stating it day after day to yourself to convince yourself that you're worthy of it, because that's always part of the problem. And also so that the message will go out. Now what really happens, of course, is that the message goes out, it gets toned, intoned in the energy field around you, and then like attracts like. You understand? It's a very simple statement. Nothing big about this, right? It's energy. Like energy attracts like energy. And so when you start saying, this is what I want, this is what I want, it starts going out and banging around in the psyche, gets louder, louder and louder and louder, and then like energy starts to meet it. Because there's somebody out there that's saying, I want a lover, or I want this, or I want that, or I want a wonderful tenant for my house, I mean, whatever it might be, all right? So, but your responsibility first, last, and always is to intone your psyche with what you want. Out of that, the mechanism starts to roll. But if you're hesitant, well, I think I do. Oh, no, I'm not sure I do. Well, sometimes I do. Well, I don't know if it's right. Well, God, you tell me. And then finally, the weakest thing of all, well, it's up to God. Well, what is that? It's up to God. What do you mean it's up to God? It's up to you. You decide. And if you don't decide, then your old patterns decide for you. And this is the hook you have to really understand. If you do not take a strong stand and say, I want this, then the old unconscious patterns will just keep on going and rolling, and they will dictate what kinds of energy fields are brought to you, because nobody's made a change. You are the master of the energy field, no one else. By your intoned power in and out, you change your life, because you change the vibration, and that pulls to you a totally different experience. Careful examination. So that when you intone, you don't have 65 different things. Oh, and by the way, I need a refrigerator or whatever. No, just get it down. Very simple. These are the things I want, and just keep intoning them and acting in your body in that wonderful, strong way as if it was all present. The most important thing that you need to hear right now is that you are God manifesting as a wonderful young man, and to trust your promptings and not let other people translate them for you. Listen to yourself. Listen to your energy. Listen to your desires. Listen to yourself, my beautiful friend. That is my advice to you. If it doesn't feel right, don't do it. Even if it looks right, even if it thinks right, if it doesn't feel right, don't do it. You are a product of an educational system that stifles the basic desire of listening to yourself. You have been stuffed with material from outside of yourself, and most of it is useless. But if you will begin to listen every day, and if it doesn't feel right, don't do it, your life will explode. It doesn't matter where you go to school. If it doesn't feel right, be strong. Don't do it. You can do that with care. You can say no with poetry and beauty and care. No, you don't have to say no. You can find a way always to say no with grace. And uncertainty as to what's power and what's ego. I think most people have this confusion, my friend. Yes. Yes, I think that is true. And I think I'm not going to be a lot of help in my answer, but I'm going to do my best. When you start to really pay attention to what's going on right here in the physical body, you're going to begin to sense a difference between the ego motion and the divine motion. It's a matter of paying such close attention to the strands that are vibrating within you that you can tell the difference. You know, at the beginning of the deepening of the quest, one of the most important things to do is to make a decision inside of yourself that you will not make decisions outside until you go inside and say, how does it feel? And if you would just simply make this, most people will never do this, so I'm kind of talking like the wind in the trees now, because 99% of the people hearing this will never do it. But I must present it because it is the answer to the question, which is this. The way to truly know the difference between ego and divine power is how it feels inside your body. And until you become responsible for being the laboratory for that decision-making process,
then it's just mental. You see, every moment, spontaneously, two things can happen. The divine can act, or the ego can react. Mm-hmm. Now, the difference is, when you say, I'm not going to act without checking it out, you go in, and I'm talking about mundane things, which is why people don't do it, that you go inside and you say, what would you say? And then there's a response. It's either a lifting up for the yes or a down for the no. I mean, it happens differently in different people. But there is some kind of response that is differentiated from the other. And the more attuned you get, it's like hearing two birds, a real bird and a false bird made with a whistle. You listen closely enough, there is no question. When you finally hear it, you will always know which is the whistle and which is the bird. But until then, they sound rather the same. Later on, after experiencing the quiet of listening, you would never dream of saying that. So it's a matter of this dedication to the paying attention to the feeling. The feeling of the ego feels different. That's how you know. And all you have to do is to get in there and start feeling the differences, and the nuances will tell you. But it takes watching. We see, it's like the bird calls. Mm-hmm. You'll never know until you start. Just let me know. But it was my experience when I inhabited a body that in the last days of the last times, I could tell the difference instantly when I was about to move out of ego or whether I was about to move out of vast self. And so since I can do it, you can do it. Since we have the same mechanisms, and since you have all the same equipment, so you can do it too. But it takes practice. I grant you, I had an advantage. My life was quieter. But I still say, you can do it. First of all, you cannot think of anything and create it in your mind without creating the energy vortex, so it immediately is real. It immediately is real. You are the creator of your world. You create through dreaming, through thought, through aspiration, all of these things. And when you dream it or when you visualize it, you begin to make it real. This is why people say, be careful what you want because you'll probably get it. It's the same law. The minute that you truly begin to create visualization powerfully, which is what you're starting to do, then it is real. You stumbled on to the secret, which is that in the center, there is the hole. And the hole is the entrance to the world that you're seeking, which is not a world at all, but a state of consciousness. With the understanding now made conscious that it is the doorway to another state of awareness, you will begin to pull yourself to that point day after day. So I thank you, and I ask you above all to remember, you are connected in a pattern of the most amazing beauty and wonder. It is so beautiful, and connected to the points are all of the great ones that you outpicture as the gods, which are nothing more than the same thing that you are.